Hello, my name is Robert Bruce and I am a financial journalist. Today I'm talking to Pat Finnegan, board member of the International Accounting Standards Board, about the financial statement presentation project. The topic of financial statement presentation keeps cropping up over and over again. Can you just talk us through exactly where we are now and really how we got here and what the process and the discussions have been beforehand?
Sure. Well, this is a joint project involving both the IASB and the FASB. And the concept or idea was to come together to have a single approach, a converged approach, if you will, between the way financial information is organized and presented to users. And you might ask, why is that so important? Well, today, financial statements are prepared in many, many different ways. And the alternatives or options for presenting information, particularly between U.S. GAAP and IFRS, are plentiful. So one of the objectives here would be to improve comparability of financial reports across borders and geographies. With respect to the financial reports of any one particular company, another objective of the project was to ensure that there's a linkage, a concept that we refer to as cohesiveness, across the set of financial statements. Again, to improve the usability, comparability, understandability of the information. So this is all geared towards making financial reports more useful for the end user.
Patrick, I understand that the boards of the IASB and FASB published in July this year a staff draft on financial statement presentation. Wasn't the original plan was to publish an exposure draft after going through the lengthy deliberations of the October 2008 discussion paper. What has happened?
Well, needless to say, Robert, if adopted, the board's tentative decisions reached in this project as of April 2008 would involve significant changes to the financial reporting process, the way companies gather and aggregate data for financial reports, to the way they communicate their financial performance and financial position to users of financial statements. So as a result of those potential significant changes, the two boards decided that they wanted to ensure their proposals would achieve their objective. And simply stated, that means bringing greater clarity, understandability, and transparency to financial reports for all users. So with that in mind, the boards thought that more work could be done on the project to understand the costs and benefits of the proposed presentation model, and in particular to focus on the implications of certain proposals for financial services organizations. So at the end of June, just 6 weeks ago, the boards committed themselves to engaging in a focused and targeted outreach program before finalizing and publishing an exposure draft.
What's that outreach program going to include?
Well, this is not the first time that we've actually engaged in an outreach program on this particular project. But this time, we're going to focus in on several controversial issues based on the insights we've gained thus far from the study and the work we've done. Two areas in particular are of interest to all stakeholders here. The first is the way the statement of cash flows is presented, and another is the application of a principle known as cohesiveness. And by cohesiveness, I mean simply the way data is displayed across the primary financial statements and ensuring that that data is related and consistent.
And again, how will that work?
Well, the outreach that we're proposing here would entail actually a number of different activities, if you will. One would involve field visits where we actually meet one-on-one with companies and ask them to discuss what kind of changes will be involved in your systems, your processes, to actually implement these proposals. That is something that, while we have done in the past, we want to again dig a little deeper. We'll also be conducting field testing. And by field testing, we mean asking companies to actually try to recast their financial statements in a way that would give effect to the proposals that we're currently recommending in the staff draft. And, you know, of course, we're going to be conducting a number of conference calls and one-on-one visits with users to also ask them, how is the proposed information that we've developed thus far, this package, how is that going to help you better analyze and use financial information? And hopefully, you know, we'll gain some good insights from all these activities.
So the key differences between the staff draft proposals and the discussion paper, which we now have, are?
Well, there are several, and probably beyond the time that we have here today, but let me give you some highlights as to the key differences, and I won't discuss these necessarily in any particular order. To start, we made changes to two key principles introduced in the discussion paper. One deals with the topic or principle I just mentioned, cohesiveness. The other deals with the principle of disaggregation. Starting first with cohesiveness, in our latest set of proposals, we continue to recommend that financial statements should be cohesive. And by that, I mean what I just said earlier, that the information in the financial statements must align across them, across the statement of comprehensive income, the statement of financial position, the statement of cash flows. However, the big change here is we are not requiring that such information align on a line item by line item basis. So we're not exacting the same amount of rigor or rigidness, if you will, in the application of that principle. With respect to disaggregation, entities would only be required to disaggregate income and expense information on the face of the statement of comprehensive income by function, and to disaggregate income and expense information by nature in the notes. It's also noteworthy here that the FASB is proposing that the information be disaggregated in the segment note. There are a few other changes that I think are probably worth noting. One is that we're proposing less disaggregation with respect to the statement of cash flows. Cash flows will not have to be disaggregated in the same detail as we're suggesting for the statement of comprehensive income. That is by nature and function. In addition, we are recommending that cash flows would be derived or could be derived using so-called indirect direct approach as opposed to a very detailed system process in which cash flow information would be tagged and tracked. One question that we'll be focusing on during the outreach that has given rise to a great deal of debate is what is the appropriate or right level of disaggregation of operating cash flows? And in addition, we'll be asking various participants, preparers, users, and alike, what changes possibly we might be able to make to the reconciliation that we're proposing between operating income and operating cash flows.
Do you want to talk a bit about the reconciliation schedule and the changes to definitions of sections and categories, and just talk through some of the detail there?
Certainly. The business section has now been redefined to include two principal categories, the operating and the investing category. And in addition, we are proposing within the operating category a new subcategory, and that would be entitled the operating finance subcategory. This last change was done to accommodate those items that have both an operating and financial element to their nature. Another important change to mention here is the fact that treasury assets would now be in the business section, not in the financing section. The reconciliation schedule which we originally proposed in the discussion paper between the Statement of Comprehensive Income and the Statement of Cash Flows, has been eliminated. And in lieu of that, what we are proposing is that a company would prepare roll-forward schedules, or what we more precisely like to refer to as a reconciliation of the activity between a balance sheet element from one period to another. And this information would be prepared for significant asset and liability line items, not every single asset and liability line item. In addition, another concept which we've developed for the staff draft is a schedule that would be included in the notes of the financial statements that would provide a summary of remeasurements. For example, changes in assets due to fair value measurements, yep, or changes in an asset's balance due to an impairment charge. So those are some, I think, very, very beneficial changes that will bring in interesting insights, I think, for investors.
Yeah. Well, originally, the board's proposals were expected to result in a similar presentation on financial statements under IFRS and US GAAP. However, there are a few differences coming through in the board's proposals. Could you just talk us through those?
Sure. I think there are at least three differences that are worth noting. First, as I mentioned before, the FASB is proposing that an entity with more than one reportable segment would be required to present income and expense information by nature in the segment note. In contrast, the ISB is proposing that income and expense information by nature would be presented in a separate note, but on a consolidated basis, not by reportable segment. Additionally, the ISB is proposing that information about the changes in line items that normally constitute net debt would be disclosed in a single note. This is information that we've learned that many analysts here in Europe and on the continent as a whole find very useful. The FASB, on the other hand, is not proposing similar disclosure. They haven't had the same kind of requests from users in the States. A third difference is the fact that the ISB is retaining what we refer to as minimum line item requirements for the statement of financial position. These are requirements that we've had in IS-1 and that we're going to be moving over into this final proposal when it's published as a final standard. The FASB is not proposing to require specific line item requirements for the statement of financial position.
And finally, where do we go next on this project?
Well, as I mentioned before, the boards are actively planning, and actually we've already kicked off our outreach activities that will take us until November of this year. After we complete those activities, the two boards will come together, hopefully by the end of this year, and we'll debate and discuss what we've learned. And that will then become further input for the staffs to update and amend the staff draft to move forward with an exposure draft. And if that process goes smoothly, then we will hopefully bring that together sometime in the first quarter of 2011.
Pat Finnegan, thank you very much indeed for that. Finally, the official disclaimer. The views expressed in this podcast are the views of the participants in this podcast and do not necessarily represent the official views of the International Accounting Standards Board. Thank you.